We'll bring the regular scheduled meeting to order at 2 p.m. Thursday, November 13th. Roll call, please.
Brenda? Paul?
Yes.
Josie?
Here.
Warren?
Here.
Chris?
He's coming.
Jim?
Here.
Glenn?
Here.
Samantha?
Here.
Chris?
Here. When did you want this read?
We have a call.
Okay, thank you. So, who's all, we have public in the King Cove office?
Just myself, Jackie Brandle, and Stuart Brandle.
Okay. Cole Bay?
Is anybody there?
Allison Lagoon?
Just me, Sam.
Thanks, Sam. Falls Pass? In Sandpoint?
In Sandpoint, I have Mayor Osterbach, Jim Smith, Glenn Gardner, Paul Granholt, and myself.
Hackettan?
Hello? Oh, no, just myself, Josie.
Thanks, Josie. In the Anchorage office?
Yes, Mayor Osterbach, there's myself, Annie, Glenora, Chris, Ernie, and Charlotte.
Okay, thank you. So we need a motion to adopt the agenda.
This is Chris. I'll make a motion. We adopt the agenda as presented.
This is Josie. I'll second.
Josie. So if there's no corrections to the agenda, no objections, it'll stand as written. Do we have any public comments at this time on agenda items? Does anyone feel they may have a conflict of interest with any agenda items? Okay, we are down to swearing in of newly elected officials. Everybody.
I got one, Beverly.
You brought it on.
She sent it to me, so I thought I'd bring it. You'll be in charge.
Yeah.
Oh, are you doing it today? Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was reading while you were talking, I think.
Okay.
This is my oath of office. I, Paul R. Granholt, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and state of Alaska, the laws and ordinances of the Galician East Borough, state of Alaska, and that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform the duties of assembly member, so help me God.
Okay. Oath of office. I, Glenn Gardner Jr., do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the state of Alaska and the laws and ordinances of the Galician East Borough, state of Alaska, and that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform the duties of assembly member. So help me God.
Thanks. Okay. So with that, welcome back to those that are reelected and welcome aboard to newly elected Glenn Gardner. And thank Tom Humblett for his service and Paul.
Yeah, just a quick follow-up question on the election, which wasn't a certification meeting, but because of the change in assembly members, do we have to appoint a member for Falls Pass now?
January, I think, right?
Yeah, we posted the notice.
Okay, wasn't sure. Thank you.
Okay. That's, yeah, need anything else? No, good.
Oh, Bailey, don't do.
So we have minutes, October 9th, assembly regular minutes. We need a motion to bring them to the floor.
I'll make a motion to bring the minutes to the floor.
Thanks, Josie.
I'll second it, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Are there any corrections, additions to the minutes? Hearing none, there's no objections. The minutes for October 9th will stand. We need a motion and a second for October 20th special meeting minutes.
I'll make that motion, Glenn.
Thank you, Glenn.
I'll second it, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Are there any corrections or comments on the October 20th minutes? Paul?
See, I didn't make that meeting, so my name's on there.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Just have to delete my name.
Okay. So we can make that one correction. Any other comments? With the one correction, if there's no objections, the minutes of October 20th will stand. Okay. Finance Director's Report. Jackie?
Thank you, Mayor Ospec and Assembly. I'll start my report off with an update on this year's audit. All of the tasks that were assigned between the finance department and the bookkeeping company have been finalized, completed, and sent to BDO. We did receive a few follow-up requests last week in regard to our federal single audit. They needed a few more items for their testing requirements, and those have been sent in, and I have not heard back from her yet on if they were going to need more or not, but I believe we've met their testing requirements for their single federal and state, which is good. This year, we opted to have the actual financial statements drafted by BDO, just because last year we went through a lot of back and forth in regards to formatting and editing, and it took a lot of extra time than I think is necessary. And they are planning on getting through this was the update I received the week I actually wrote my report, so it's a little dated. They're planning on getting through the last of the report this week, so the week that we're in right now. They should be reviewing their first pass of reviews, and I'm hoping to see a draft of the financials sometime next week, which would be good. This means we are moving a lot quicker than we were last year, which I'm very happy about. So with all the audit requirements wrapped up, I did a lot of work in the last month on the financial policies and procedures. I finished the following policies and procedures for standard financials, government returns, the annual audit, identification of liabilities, and the administration of grant awards. There just remains probably like three or four small sections left, and I've pretty much gone through all of the different procedures and policies you would see happening in a finance department, which is good. That means that we should have a completed book of procedures in the next year. Working on retention, there was a lot of boxes in this office and a lot of old documents. So we've been working on that pretty heavily in the last couple of weeks as well. Reviewing the transactions for the payables I did from FY13 to 19, just because I wanted to pull out any of the transactions related to any major grants or projects that we've been working on so that we don't lose record of those. Even though they are older than what our retention schedule asked us to keep, I'd like to keep them because I have been doing a lot of research into past projects, and it's nice to have those all located in one spot. And Annie and I have sat down and talked about adding a section in the Laserfish just showing the major projects so that we can have a very good record of all the work that we've done. So maybe later on in the future, we don't find ourselves repeating projects or actually having histories that we didn't really have access to before. So that's been taking a lot of my time in the last week or so. I'm really, really want to get rid of a lot of the old paper in here because it's just old paper, and it's not even good to look at because it's just kind of dusty and musky smelling from being in the old office, and it triggers my allergies. So I'm trying to get through it as fast as I can so everything is digitalized. The routine tasks for this past month have been going great, and as usual, we just are waiting on the last of our receivable data to close out our October financials. And just let me know if you have any questions.
Okay, thanks, Jackie. Questions for Jackie? Paul?
Yeah,
I keep asking this, Jackie, but we have the new software. Are you getting more comfortable every month with the software, or how's that going?
Yeah, the new software is way better. I've actually been able to find new ways to create reports that are needed and ways to actually add sections to the reports that are currently in there. So I'm able to pull data in a better format than I had in the old data. I think the biggest issue I'm running into right now in regard to the changeover is just when I'm looking back at past projects, some of them that like kind of mold into current and past, you've got to kind of create something to combine them together, but we don't have too many projects that overlap between the switch. But it's just been a great change moving to the new software system. It just makes things a lot simpler to perform the routine tasks, and finding information has been a lot easier.
Mr. Mayor,
what is the new software?
Jackie?
We are using Cassell.
Cassell?
We were previously using Banyan data systems since probably 1990s. And we had switched over. This last fiscal year, FY25, was the first year that we were in the new software.
Thank you. Okay. Other questions for Jackie? Okay. And Jackie, I'm glad that you brought up that you guys are still doing, like once we started doing white papers, but you guys are still documenting things that happen throughout the years. I think it's really good for the borough to continue working on leaving a good track to follow as time goes on, because a lot of things get skewered or lost, whatever. So I think a good written record is will help as time goes by for different assemblies and mayors and that. Any other comments? Okay, thank you. So I need a motion on the financials to bring them to the floor for September.
This is Chris. I make a motion. We bring the financials for September 2025 to the floor for discussion.
This is Josie. I'll second.
Thanks, Josie. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Ostermack and Assembly. In the packet are the September 2025 financials. A few things to point out on the first page is one is the very first line there, 10,004,000, which is the raw fish tax. We did bring in $289,000 in September of 2025. However, a portion of that is from a small processor for July and August fish taxes. So the actual amount for September was about $278,000, which is about 76.2% of the five-year average and 79.1% of the 10-year average. So things are a little less than what we've used to get in the past. The other one is the one right below that, 10,004,010. We did receive the state shared raw fish tax from the state of Alaska. So we anticipated back in May about $1.45 million, but it came in at $1.317, so about $132,000 less than what we anticipated. This is a lot better than last year. Last year I was way off. So I'm really happy that estimate was a lot closer because we're literally just guessing in May. So anyway, that has been received, which is great. The other one is interest revenue. That's 10,004,100. We received 114,000 of interest revenue, which is great. I did look at what the AMLIP interest rate is. It's about 4.06%, which went down about 1.25% over the last couple of months. So we're still getting a good return, which means our money is working in our favor, which once again is fantastic news. And then the last one to point out on this first page is 10,004,350. That's state revenue other. We did receive our community assistance funds for the borough, a little bit more than what I anticipated. Which is great. So that has also been received, and that's a state of Alaska funding source as well. So Other than that, I don't have anything in the expenditures to point out. We're tracking along like we should. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks, Annie. Questions? Paul?
There's a little bit of new information, Annie, that maybe some people are already aware of it, some aren't, but the pink salmon prices originally were about 25 cents, and I believe some of the canneries are paying 35 now, but some are going to end up paying 50 cents, I heard today. That's kind of like nothing in writing that I've seen, but it's pretty good news, even though because we had a lot of pinks in the area. And then another thing I just wanted to mention, you have to take the phone out of Alvin's office. He just about busted his budget on the phone. So that's it. Thank you.
Other comments? Okay. Thanks, Annie. Question on the motion?
Glenn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Investment report is in your packet. Don't have anything under consent or public hearings, ordinances. So our next item is resolution 26-20 requesting Governor Dunleavy to support a fishery disaster declaration for Alaska Peninsula sockeye salmon fishery. It's Ernie.
Thank you, Mayor.
Wait, we need a motion, sir.
Oops. This is Chris. I make a motion. We bring resolution 26-20 to the table for discussion.
Second. Okay, Paul. Okay, now Ernie.
Thank you. On this agenda item, you have two one-page documents, the memo, and then the resolution itself. And then after that, we've got a couple data charts. But this comes at the request of the two fishermen's organizations, CAMF and Area M Seiners Association. I pulled together the best data I could to have our best case. The first, so this resolution asks for two disaster determinations, one for the South Peninsula June fishery, and then one for the cumulative effects of three bad years on the North Peninsula entire seasons. So the first data point was the 2025 June South Penn sockeye harvest was just 22.2% of the five-year previous average June sockeye harvest. And the second data point for 2025 and 2024 and 2023 was about 40% of the average. And then we continually dropped in active Area M permits. And so those data points are all included in the resolution. Oops, I changed my page. Didn't want to do. And then lower, I have some of the stuff that's legally binding, the two statutes that are included and where we could possibly get disaster terminations from the Secretary of Commerce. If this was to be adopted by the Assembly, we would put together a letter based on some of the information on this memo, and it would be signed by the mayor and accompanying the resolution. At the bottom of this memo page are the management reports where the data came from. Looking at the resolution, I've switched the data for the June sockeye South Penn. Instead of saying 22%, only 22% of the harvest, I've said it's 78% below. And the third whereas and the fourth whereas, instead of saying 40% below, I said it's a drop of 60%. So there's two resolved. Therefore, be it resolved, request the Alaska governor to request the Secretary of Commerce to determine a fishery disaster for the 2025 South Alaska Peninsula June sockeye salmon season, and then requesting the Secretary of Commerce to determine a fishery disaster for the cumulative impact of 2023, 2024, and 2025 for the North Pen. And both the fishermen's organizations thought that wasn't too bad. And so then I've got some data I was going to just look at for the South Pen. And those are the data points. I'm just showing the 10-year average number and then the percentage that 2025 was. And then the same thing for the North Pen. You can see the last 3 years were lower compared to the 8-year average. And then we'll go to some charts. This shows the June sockeye harvest. And June is not necessarily the big moneymaker for the North Pen, but you can see for the South Pen, for the blue is the South Pen. The only season lower was the COVID year 2020 for the South Pen. And, you know, the last 3 years haven't been great, but we've had some pretty good years. And then the next chart shows just overall the whole season harvest. And you can see, if you look at the orange now, that's the North Pen. And those 3 years have been lower than the rest. And I also wanted to mention that, you know, for the whole season, why I didn't pick the whole season for the South Pen is because actually 2025 is better than 2024. And these are just numbers of fish, doesn't reflect fish tax or the price of salmon. And then the last chart I have on this shows going back 20 years. And I wanted to do this because in 2011, 12, and 13, the North Pen actually had some extremely a 3-year set of extremely bad years. And so that's all I have on the resolution, Mr. Mayor. I can answer any questions.
Thank you, Ernie. Questions for Ernie? Paul?
Yeah. Ernie, generally the governor approves everything and kind of moves along. It's been taking about, I don't know, 3 years to get paid if the money gets appropriated in Congress. But there was an effort to speed things up. Can you refresh us where we are on speeding up this disaster funding? Does it go anywhere, or is it still going to take about 3 years or so?
Hopefully it'll be faster. I think they did pass law. Again, I don't know, Paul. I honestly don't know where that legislation sits. But hopefully, they're trying to speed up the whole process. But I didn't do that research for this, Paul. I don't know where that sits.
Thank you.
I could add to it a little bit. I think so. When I was down and met with the Secretary of Commerce and Secretary of Agriculture, Annie was at that meeting also, and basically that discussion came up for other areas too of the amount of time it takes. They understand it, and they said that they were going to do something to expedite it, that it should never take that long to get disaster money, because some people were out of the business now because it took too long. They lost their boats, their gear. Some people had already passed on. And so they know that it's taking way too long. Other questions for Ernie?
Jim here. Ernie, do you know have they separated just a red season before when you look for disaster, or they look at it as a whole? Pumpkins, dogs, whatever.
I guess I missed the question. What was that, Jim?
They just looked for disaster for red salmon only before. Has anyone done that?
I believe so, yeah. Specific species, yeah. Yes. Thanks.
Other questions? Okay. Thank you. Question on motion.
Jim?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Down to old business. Ratification of the October 20th, 2025 special meeting. Penny?
I
have it.
Yeah, I'm going to defer to Beverly.
Ah.
Okay, so sorry. Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. Last October 20, we had a special meeting, and during that meeting, the Mayor Osterbach was not present. I apologize that I forgot to ask one of the Assembly to chair the meeting instead. So this, I will need a motion from the Assembly to acknowledge that mistake I made, and please don't fire me in the spot. And we are correcting it through this ratification.
You got to say to me?
All right, Chris has something.
I got something to bring up, according to what happened at our last meeting. I move to ratify the actions taken at the October 2025 Special Assemblies meeting. This ratification acknowledges that the meeting was presided over by the borough's administrator due to the absence of the mayor, and that the election of the president pro tempore was inadvertently omitted.
That's what you were saying.
So basically, we need to take a motion on that.
Second.
Yes.
So we need a second for that motion.
Second.
Paul, second. Any other comments, clarification needed?
I think she did a good job, even though we didn't do it right.
Okay.
Learning every meeting.
So if there's no objections to this,
we should have
roll call on, I think. Okay, do a roll call.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Paul? Sorry, Josie?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank
right. you. Okay. New business. Annie, donation.
Yes, Mayor Osbrek and Assembly, as you most of you probably know, the borough does have a donation policy in place that allows entities within the borough communities to request charitable donations. In these donation requests have to be submitted to the borough by May 1st or November 1st. And I have a copy of the donation policy in the packet for your review. In FY26, the borough assembly did appropriate $20,000 for donations, and that's reflected in the current budget. And in May of 2025, the assembly approved $16,000 in FY26 donation request, which left a balance of $4,000. The borough did receive three donation requests by November 1st, 2025. Those included a QTT Christmas potluck with a request between 500 to 1,000, one from Concerned Area M Fishermen, and which was for a $5,000 to $7,000 request, and one from the King Cove School Class of 2027 in the amount of $5,000. After reviewing this and reviewing the policy, the only one that does qualify based off our criteria is the QTT Christmas potluck. And it is recommended to donate $500 for that. Concerned Area M Fishermen, we do have a different funding source through our Board of Fish line item, which seems a little more appropriate for this. And plus, we didn't have enough money anyways to meet their request. So we would recommend looking at that. And then the King Cove School Class of 2027, unfortunately, because of the group, it doesn't qualify either, and this follows suit with a similar request we've denied in the past. So with that, the borough does recommend just doing a $500 donation to QTT for the Christmas potluck, which would leave a remaining balance of $3,500 for donations that we will receive in May of 2026 for the FY26 budget cycle. With that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks, Annie. Questions for Annie? Okay. So, since this isn't do we just need a directive then, since we don't have a resolution?
Yeah, I don't know if we need a motion on this. I think it just can go.
All right. There's no objections, and we'll just leave it as presented. Okay. Reports and updates. Annie.
Yes, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly, in the packet is my report. Just a few items. There's the Cold Bay Dock, which is the first item on the list. Basically, the state of Alaska and P&D Engineering, they continue to work on environmental and design portions of the replacement dock. There's a link there for you if you want to find out more information about that project. The state did hold a virtual public meeting regarding this project on October 28th at 6:30 p.m. There was some difficulty with logging in, so they are talking about possibly doing another virtual public hearing about this project due to that difficulty. I struggled getting in myself. So yeah, they're going to probably hold another one, but that project is ongoing and the borough does attend those meetings that the state and P&D hold as often as we can. The piling project, just so you're aware, that on October 4th. Oh yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, Annie, can we ask questions as you go through each topic, or how do you want to handle the questions?
No, absolutely.
I called in during the public hearing. I was traveling, and very hard to call in. I had to get another passcode to get into the meeting on the Zoom meeting on my smartphone. But I did make most of the meeting. I did comment. I do see that you were there, Alvin was there, and he was there with public information that who was listening. But, and I don't think they answered many questions that people had. It was a very poor turnout. I thought a lot of people either didn't know about it or couldn't get on. But perhaps I think we should weigh in, my 2 cents worth of fur, which represents a lot of people in the area, old borough, even though we don't have any money in on this, we should weigh in on some of the alternatives that they're discussing. They have a preferred alternative now, which is similar to the existing dock. And he talked about a wave barrier, but the amount of money they were quoting, kind of like, I don't know where he was getting those funds, but it's... Is there a question I had, I guess the short version is there a way at our next meeting to invite P&D and the state to make another presentation? They don't seem to be on a real fast track. I don't know if it'll qualify for the hearing date or not, but I don't think it matters. But is there a way to invite them, give up another summary of where they're at, because what I'd like to see is that we support a wave barrier included in the design. I don't know what other assembly members or the administration thinks of that, but anyway, I don't think we need to comment, I guess, is what I think the borough should do. Anyway, that's just my opinion. I'm not making a motion or anything. I'm just stating where we should be or might be. And I don't think we had anybody from King Cove. Maybe we did that commented because I missed part of the meeting. And they should definitely be commenting too. And whether they comment through us or on their own, or write a letter from the city or the tribes or anybody, because they use the dock more than most people. Anyway, just some thoughts. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, I can add to that. I mean, I can definitely talk to the state and see if they could attend in December. I believe prior to December 12th, they will have another virtual public hearing to go over the scope of the project. And I'll share that as soon as I receive that information. So I don't mind asking. And you're right, it does seem like everything's going slow. But the borough with our Sandpoint Harbor Float project also had to go through the MARAD process, and the environmental section takes forever. I mean, it is the slowest process. And with the governmental shutdown, they're unable to get answers right now from Fish and Wildlife, from NIMS, and a couple other organizations that have to comment. So it's dragging this on even longer. And I think they'll be asking for an extension due to the shutdown. So anyways, but yeah, I can ask Paul. That's not a problem.
And Paul, Annie and I have talked with the engineer state, different meetings, and there was five options to start with. They took one of them out, so there's still four. But, you know, at one point they were even talking about not having the fuel line included in it because of the cost. And so we've been talking with them saying, you know, that one of the main things that go with this dock, I mean, we realize the state is in on it, and it's for the ferry part of the marine highway system. But they were looking at, well, that's what it is, part of the marine highway system. But we're telling them Cold Bay wouldn't even exist or need to exist if they didn't have capability for fuel. This big runway wouldn't do any good if you couldn't take care of that. So anyway, we're working on them on with that type of thing. And then the prices came in just crazy on that. You know, because the original, I think the MARAD grant was $43 million and change. And then the state will put in 10, 20% on top of that. But even at that, it's still way under. So we've been trying to figure out, you know, as they're going to do more of these telephonic or Teams meetings or whatever you call these things with the folks in the communities, and we've asked that they also do that. But the prices are so crazy, and then we're even been working on trying to figure out, like, when you put the face of the dock on the fender system that goes on there. We found out talking with MARAD back in Washington, D.C., basically, hey, a lot of this stuff is not made in this country anymore. Now with all the tariffs and build everything in America, they don't have the rubber. They don't have a lot of the stuff that's needed for destruction because it comes from foreign countries. So we've been doing a lot of work on it. It's taking time, and people are trying to figure out if there's going to be waivers put in place to be able to obtain some of the items they need for this and try and figure out what the prices are. So we've actually been working on it. It's just with tariffs and everything else, it's just everything's up in the air. And then the government shut down for 43 days. But anyway, yes, we understand where we're
working. And to add to that, when Alvin talks about the price differential, there's a $19 million delta. I mean, it's not small, and that's for that one alternative, the alternative four that they're proposing. There's a $19 million delta the state's trying to fill, and inflation is real. I mean, the cost of steel alone has gone up about 150% in the last, like, 2 years, and so when we put in the original proposal, there's no way we could have anticipated some of these changes. The state couldn't, AML couldn't, the borough, the city of Cold Bay, when we drafted that together, those just weren't even in our realm of, like, possibilities that this would happen. So definitely trying to figure out ways to, one, cut costs, but also to see if there's additional funding, whether it's a supplemental funding request to MARAD, if that's even permitted, which I don't think it is. Or some other funding source. We're trying to problem solve this one, because that's a huge delta.
I got a question, if I can, Mayor. Yeah, I know we had talked about, before we even got this, you know, tremendous grant from the state of Alaska, we had talked about the fuel line before that, and I think we were talking, and I don't know how that all works. Maybe Annie or you could answer it, but it seemed like we were talking that was going to almost be the responsibility of the company that was really doing the fuel there, because we knew the expense of what that was going to cost. But I don't know if that has changed now, or kind of maybe you could go in a little bit more on that, Annie, because I know that's one of the stipulations you were saying too, was the fuel line there. Run along the dock. I mean, I know the importance of it, but
go ahead, Alvin, you know more about that.
So Chris, I have met with Allegan Corporation a couple of times and with the state. And my original request was that the borough own the pipeline all the way up to solid ground and then put headers up there so you could have multiple suppliers if they were so inclined to put a fuel system in. And one of the main reasons I did it the other year, remember when a tender hit the fuel line, broke it, and it was down for a year because they were waiting for, you know, and I talked to them about it. I said, you know, waiting for a year for the insurance company to come in, the adjusters, and do something when you got a business and now you don't have any fuel over there and they're trying to pack fuel off the dock and tankers. I felt that that wasn't something that was good for the community. So I kind of wanted the borough to actually be the owner and then take it from there. But as the prices are going up and things are changing, we're having discussions with all parties trying to figure this out to where this is going to be and where it's going to go. But however it winds up and whoever the owner is, somebody's going to own it, but the fuel line, I hope, stays in there and gets put in. Otherwise, it's kind of a waste.
So I agree with you. I mean, put it in now than after the fact. I mean, yeah, I just, if we can, you know, figure out. And I have no problem with the borough owning it. You know, if we can certainly afford it or get it somehow put into the dock, you know, funding itself. So that's all I have. So thanks, Alvin.
Yeah. Annie, I don't know, you might have something different.
No, I have nothing else to add.
Well, the one thing I did catch at the end, toward the end of the meeting, that proposal 4, which is very similar to the existing dock built right next to it, he said that was their preferred alternative right now. So anyway, when we get to next month's meeting, if the administration has some resolution to present or put on the agenda, would be great. As we'll see how that goes. Or individual assembly members, I suppose, could submit a resolution too, because I bottom line is I think we should take a position and a recommendation, because I publicly said at the end in public comment period, and I said I wouldn't approve it without a wave barrier, because that's how important I think a wave barrier is for the health and welfare of King Cove in particular.
Paul, how much do you think a wave barrier would cost?
I think you could build on it. They said, I'll summarize what I heard. I heard they got $43 million, and he said he could build a dock and the ramp for about half of that. And then he said, if you want to put a wave barrier, then we're going to make it like $68 million. It didn't add up. I think a 200 by 200 rock barrier. You know, I'm no expert, but you could do that for $10 million or even $15 million, you'll still come under budget.
I think to go so far. Yeah,
200 by 200 L-shaped wave barrier with just rocks.
Well, you know, but just looking at those different options, just basically building the 1,800 foot raceway out there, and then the dock is actually shorter than the original, but they're going to put dolphins on that one scenario in it. But even with that, there's not enough money to complete that, let alone even put the pipe in.
Well, I heard differently. Maybe my hearing wasn't so good that evening on my phone. But it'd be nice to get another opportunity to weigh in and see where they're at. That sounds, $40 million is a lot of money for a
dock. What is the depth at the end of that? It's pretty deep.
So anyway, yeah, we can, I mean, personally, I'm not ready to bring anything to the assembly because it's like everything is still being thrown into the pot and nothing's gelling to even come out of it. The state doesn't seem to know how and where they can go. Mayran is looking at what they have. And then the shutdown screwed everything up for a month and a half. So we could be, I'm not sure, I mean, if you want to put something together as a resolution and bring it in and give it to the clerk and she can put it on the agenda. But as far as administration goes, I don't think we're going to be ready by next meeting with anything for a state.
What was the original amount of that money we got or that the state appropriated for that?
Well, the state, the state is the one that, you know, because of the ferry, they did the paperwork, put in the grant application, and MARAD came back with a little over $43 million for the project. And then, Annie, I don't know if the state has to provide 10 or 20%. Anyway, they have a portion that they have to put into it that brings it up to 50-some million. But for some crazy reason, the prices are just gone goofy. And that's kind of where we're at. I mean, it's not like everybody's sitting on their hands. We've been having, I don't know, what are they, weekly or every other week meetings, Annie?
Mm-hmm. Quite a few.
We're having quite a few meetings anyway.
I know we were pretty excited with the amount that came in, but now when the planning comes along and we're trying to spend it, or they're trying to spend it. Yeah, I understand. Everything is going sky high now, so, but
yeah.
But I support what the borough's doing right now and just kind of listening and sitting back and looking at the ideas that they have. So
yeah, we're keep plugging away at it, but if somebody assembly gets idea that they need to do something else, that's something that you can do. But anyway, that's kind of where we're at. I don't want to put us in a box that we can't do something else, as you know, because it's going to be a lot of give and take and compromises down the line. But if we draw a line in the sand, it might not come out too good.
Well, you're familiar with docs, so I feel, you know, that, you know, what you're doing, and even Annie, I mean, you know, we've built how many, you know, docks and harbors and stuff. So, I know you're going to try to get the biggest bang for the buck. So, and I appreciate what you guys are doing and keeping us in the loop, but I kind of agree with Paul. I'd like to kind of see if we could get them to come to a meeting. I didn't get a chance to attend that meeting. It was kind of a hectic week, but it'd be nice to maybe just kind of talk to them one-on-one as the borough. So,
yeah, I think they're planning to have another one, because Paul wasn't the only one that was having trouble getting on there. I, by luck of the draw, got on it, but it came three different email sources later, and I think two of them were wrong, and one of them sent me the right one. So, and I think there was other people that didn't get on. And I think the engineers and the state and everybody realizes that, like, if I remember right, that by the time it ended last time, we were looking at setting up another one. But through Annie, we can send an email out to them and make sure that they know that another one is required, because of the this miscommunication, and a lot of people couldn't get onto it. But I think they are planning another one.
I think the World Series was going on there.
Yes,
hey, that was a good one.
All right. Well, I'll continue. So just one more thing on that doc. On October 14th, the borough did receive notification from DOT that the Cole Bay Ferry Dock was load posted earlier this year due to decay identified in the pilings, and that they were pleased to inform us that the necessary repairs have been completed and the reduced load rating is no longer applicable. So they've lifted that. So that's fantastic news. The piling project's been completed. The load rating has been lifted. So that's good. Next project is the Sandpoint Harbor Float. Western Marine is still in the process of completing this project. And we actually, on November 3rd, myself, a representative from Western Marine, and a representative from Moffitt Nickel did travel out to Sandpoint to do the substantial completion inspection. I did have a time-lapse video. It was freezing, so I'm like really almost running down the dock filming it, but it's pretty. It's a very, very pretty structure. I'm super excited and proud of it. And we have some substantial completion work yet to finish. The substations still are not here yet. The electrical entity is way behind on finishing those, so we are pushing back the project to December 2025. It might need to be pushed back a little bit further if the substations don't arrive, but there's very few things left to finish, and then that hopefully the float will be open for business. Sandpoint deed project, this is ongoing.
I'm just going to add a couple little things because I know people will ask me. So if anybody goes down and walks on the float, which you're not supposed to yet, but if you do and you see that it lists a little bit, the reason it's listing is because of those little short floats that are hooked to it are holding one side of it up, but that's where the big transformers go. So once that's on there, it should level out. And the other thing is, the ladders are on one side. And I said, that's because if you go down, you can fall overboard on the left side. But anyway, there's going to be a whole bunch more new ladders coming for the other side of it. So those are two things I know people ask me questions about.
But did you make an agreement with West Marine to leave the barges, or can we send them a bill?
That's the harbor's not done yet. But once it's done at some point, then you guys will have to, Annie, I guess they would have to make a talk to Western Marine once the harbor is completed, as far as if they charge them for sitting there once it's turned over.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, once it's turned over, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, sorry
to interrupt. No worries. So the next one's the Sandpoint School Deed Project. UIC Construction's working away on this. We are behind schedule. It was supposed to be finished at substantial completion at the end of November, and that is not going to happen. So they're in the process of drafting a new schedule now. We are constantly doing change orders. I think I processed three today, change order proposals. And we'll do a massive change order at the end. Currently, we're still within budget, which is fantastic. It's just taking a little bit longer because as we go, we're finding more issues that have to be addressed. On the third, while I was in Sandpoint, Mayor Oshbach and I did walk through the school, and they're working diligently on it. So it looks good. It's just taking a lot longer than we anticipated. So. And then other school items, the Accutan school boilers have been replaced.
Wait.
Oh, go ahead. Yep. Sorry.
Glenn?
Oh, and I don't want to bring it up again. I didn't see anything on there, but I went up and toured the school. It's looks like it's got to be a long time. It's a lot of work left, and it's unfortunate I see a bunch of change orders because that just sucks up all the money. But besides that, Annie, can you talk? I'm new to this, but can you do a little spiel on the pool for me? What's going on with that? Because that's really disappointing to me. It's been, 5 years? No pool in San Pain?
So that project is ongoing. We've been having discussions with Palo. I did while I was on leave last week, and something came in and I was really behind on emails, didn't see it till yesterday. So we're in the process of looking at that, with that being a possibility. We also have a 95% design complete currently for a stainless steel pool, but the assembly did make a motion not to proceed with that due to the cost of $6+ million. So it's still ongoing. And I don't have much more to provide right now at this meeting, but could have something more at a future date
on that. Okay, are you guys going to be coming back with something then? You mentioned something about Paul.
Well, basically, Annie and I had discussions with, actually, Paulo came to two meetings ago, I think two or three meetings ago, he came and suggested that he would like to be able to work on it. Annie and I have had discussions with him since then, and then Annie's had discussions with him. So basically, Paulo wants to come in. The pool that's there will stay in place. And they'll go in and fiberglass it, redo all the plumbing, so it doesn't leak, do all the other stuff. So we're kind of in the middle of working through that with him right now to get a price and everything, and then bring it back to the assembly. And we're going to fast track as much as we can, because I'm sure he's got other things to be doing. And if the assembly agrees that we should allow him to do this, then in the conversations that we've been having with him, that he'll basically have everything kind of prefabricated and brought up, and start first of August on this fall. So that's kind of where we're at, but not really being anywhere yet.
Thanks.
Paul?
Yeah. Thanks for the update on the pool. First, since Glenn brought it up, to, I'm kind of guessing we have to make a decision in December in order to have the pool done by next fall. If we don't, we're another year off. So I would hope and I feel confident that the administration will figure it out and bring it to the assembly for a decision, you know, and the assembly can make whatever decision it wants to make. So that'd be great. But then I'll give me a school was nice enough to invite veterans to lunch on Tuesday, holiday Veterans Day. So I wandered over too to see what kind of progress the radio wandered over to the pool area. And for the first time, they did make a little bit of progress. But if I had to guess, they're at least a month away. Hopefully they're done by Christmas. They have quite a few workers there, but there's still quite a bit of work. That's just my two cents trying to figure out how close are they to being done. A month is my two cents worth, but they are working.
Yeah.
That's my report.
There was like 14 people or so up there, I think, came in, you know, in the last few weeks. But, you know, a lot of this with the whole building is they go in and they go into one area and they tear into it and they open it up. They hit black mold. Then they got to bring somebody in that's a specialist that does that kind of stuff. So that slows that part of it down. Then they go somewhere else and they do something else. And they find something else messed up. So when it's internal inside the structure until you open it up, you don't know. I'm not a carpenter. I don't ever want to be one. I can go up there and look at it. It doesn't make any sense to me. It just looks like a mess. But our engineers, I was up there. I brought the engineers in. Took them up to the school one day and they went around and did whatever they do. And I asked them about it and they said, oh, we're, you know, there's some discrepancies that are going to be fixed. But if you were to tell me I needed to go up there and keep track of them and watch it, yeah, it wouldn't do me much good. But anyway, they're doing, I think, probably the best they can. And the building is fairly old and it's needed maintenance for a long time. There's places on there that people knew were leaking for years and nobody did anything with it. So, you know, when we finally got the deed project money, which we couldn't have done anything without it. So, you know, you're looking at like a $7, $8 million plus project that we're into now. And I know everybody's getting frustrated that it's not finished and the pool should be done. And then when we got the bid on $6 plus million on the pool, that kind of went sideways because we don't have that kind of money. And the money that we do have that's in the bank, and I'm sure this... In a couple of months, we're going to have another meeting on all the finances of the borough and where we are and where we need to be. It's yes, there's some money there, and some of that money is tied up and already fingered for different projects that we're doing and payments that we have to make. So those things will come up in another couple of months when we do that annual financial stuff again. But I just have to go by what our engineers tell us, and they think it's going all right. I talked to the school superintendent. He's not having a problem with it. So that's kind of where I am. I keep interrupting you, Annie, but.
It's all good. All good. All right. So just to update for Accutan, the boilers have been replaced. So they have two brand new, beautiful boilers that right now, knock on wood, are working wonderfully. So that is super exciting. And that was completed late October. So that project has been done and they have a new water heater as well. So their whole mechanical system should be up and running. We have King Cove, False Pass, and Sandpoint School boiler work in the queue. We're working with Cool Air Mechanical to do additional repairs to all those. So they're working on getting procuring materials, getting them out there, and then I'll have a schedule hopefully soon on when they'll be arriving out to the sites to complete that work. They'll also be going to the Cold Bay Terminal to work on that as well. So hopefully once they're done, all the boilers and all the mechanical equipment are up and running without any issues. So we're diligently working on that. To move off maintenance, just some news on the King Cove Road. I'm sure you all have heard, but during the week of October 20th, the Secretary of Interior did sign a land exchange for the King Cove Road, and it is now through the conveyance process. This is the furthest this project has ever been. So there's some information in there. The borough is constantly attending meetings on this with the city and other entities. That's continuing. Yesterday, I did receive a message or heard that the trustees on behalf of the Alaska National Wildlife Refuges and their allied groups have sued the U.S. Department of Interior and the King Cove Corporation for an illegal land swap that threatens the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge. The deal would open the door to, well, they're saying that the deal would open a door to road through a vital habitat for migratory birds, salmon, caribou, and brown bears, and setting a dangerous precedent by doing this. So that just came out yesterday. I do not have any additional information on that at this time since it just came out, but we are going to be paying attention to that closely, and we'll bring information forward as this progresses. But it is really exciting. This, like I said, this is the furthest this project has been, and we're continuously trying to stay on top of this project. So anyway, very, very exciting. Any questions on that?
I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
With it now, with this outfit coming out and suing, which we just heard about, you know, just a day or two ago, does that stop anything from moving on?
As of right now, no.
Okay.
So DOT is out doing some geotech work, and it's my understanding that that won't stop right now. I'm not saying that it won't,
yeah,
but as of right now, they're still working and collecting some geotech data.
And Glenn has a question for you.
Quick. I just heard this morning, and again, of course, rumor mill or whatever, but I heard three tribes up north are suing. Is that true? Is that what you were talking about there? Or is this addition due?
So that actually might be true too. And I think that might've been what you sent me. The link to it.
Paper Bay is, yeah, is connected with the.
There might be some additional stuff, and it's just all coming in right now, and we're learning about it as everyone else is. But I should have some more information soon that from the attorneys and stuff.
I know some of our school kids are at a school function at Denina Center, and they were saying Lisa Murkowski was talking about it this morning,
yeah,
to them. So yeah.
Yeah, she's been a very huge advocate for this. Yeah. Go ahead. Ernie, sorry.
Could you email that article that you sent to us to Glenn?
Thank you.
Just send it.
I'll send it to Beverly.
Yeah, send it to Beverly.
Okay, good.
Gotta follow the open. Well,
as this latest court challenge moves through the dockets, and there's dates involved, could we just get updates instead of waiting for a month or two to find out what's going on? As I think the administration in Anchorage gets the dates before anybody else does, and just so we know, oh, there's a court hearing in January or February. So if somebody asks, sadly, they know. I can pass that along. You know, it's kind of good information to have. I know I appreciate keeping track of where we are on a timeline basis. Whenever decisions may or may not be made, that would be real helpful.
Here I was from you in the morning.
Yeah. Can't talk about how many members are down
putting
there.
She was usually putting that out in her weekly.
Yeah, and as of right now, this is so new, I don't have any information other than that this just happened. So, but yeah, as I learn more, we'll be providing that information when and when we can.
I think, Paul, we've been waiting quite a while for, everybody's been on pins and needles waiting for the lawsuit to happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really, yeah, truly, that's no lie.
And this happened, what, yesterday or something?
It was a win.
Yeah. All right. So just another thing, we have moved over to Deep Tree. We have new IT services. So if you have any questions, you can go through Beverly or somebody if you're having issues with your equipment that you have. But that has been completed. And other than that, there's just a few photos there. It was so pretty. Sandpoint freezing, but pretty that day. So there's some pictures of the dock. It truly is. It's just absolutely beautiful. I'm so excited. So anyway, with that, if there's any more questions, please let me know. And thank you.
So if it was freezing that day in Sandpoint, what is it out here?
It was cold over here, but I don't know.
I don't know. It's pretty cold. It's pretty cold here. So.
Any more questions, Randy? Okay. And so, Beverly, whenever Ernie sends you that article, send it to all the assembly. I just thought the assembly had it with Gwen being new. That's why I said send it to him. But send it to all of them.
Yeah.
So, okay. Thank you, Annie. And sorry for all the interruptions, but whatever. Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Marin. I see that article. There's an article about three lawsuits that's in the Alaska Beacon, if anybody's interested, before I get to it. Thank you. My report's in the packet. We've attended a couple of Board of Fish meetings already. Several of us were very concerned in the work session when there were four to three votes that went against staff recommendations. And then we had a good vote at the PCOD meeting. I put together a summary. It's linked here in the AEB Fish News. At the PCOD meeting, they raised the GHL from 30% to 35% of the Western Gulf cod. So I thought that was a win. I've also put a link to a reference sheet of the salmon proposals because they changed the numbers on us. They added some that were late, and I was not happy, but Art Nelson didn't seem to care. So we have more. I'll be going to the AYK meeting overnight in Fairbanks just for 2 days at the beginning of the meeting. Then we got the Bristol Bay. And then in February, we have the Ariam Chignik meeting. And we'll have an offshoot meet room there as we did for the PCOD meeting. And everything is about getting ready for the salmon meeting in February. But then farther down, we talk about North Pacific Council. And I put the wrong dates. They've changed the dates for the December meeting. It's the 2nd to the 9th now. And it's going to be interesting because of the government shutdown. They haven't really updated any of the groundfish specs. And December is when they do groundfish specs. So I think they're just going to go with carryover from last year. We'll see what they do. But there's also some other final actions that I've listed here for the December meeting. But the February meeting, again, for the council, is a big one where they will take final action on the pollock fish, Bering Sea pollock fishery, chum bycatch. And so there's going to be a lot of people there testifying, and anybody who is in support of the pollock fishery that we are dependent on should maybe come to the meeting and testify. I will certainly be doing that. And then I listed, as I mentioned at the end of my report, last meeting, I was appointed to the new ecosystem committee and some of the things that we'll be working on starting next year. Land issues. We've gotten final conveyance of all our Sandy River lands, which is very exciting. I actually don't know if we've gotten paper copies yet. We do have the digital virtual versions. And that was started by the assembly as part of a strategic plan. And then by resolution, we worked with McClintock Land Associates because we had to have it resurveyed. And we now have 2,400 acres in our legally ours under patent. So I thought that was great. And we also have done those surveys for Port Muller and Bear Lake. We don't have a total patent to all those lands. On the second page, I had to pay tribute to what Annie talked about, we heard about it anyway on Borough Incorporation Day, October 23rd. And I, since I've been on the borough, that has not been on my plate at all. But as a former resident and all-time resident of King Cove, I know it's very important to all the King Cove residents. And I had to just put a little bit about it. Tommy Dobson told me that they had started a road back in during World War II, but this tractor got stuck, and so they quit it. And there's a link to my song published 18 years ago on YouTube, which is crazy. And speaking of which, I've been with the borough by the end of this month for 15 years. So then talk about fishery disaster request. We had signed a letter on the last season of the Bering Sea snow crab fishery to be included, and the governor did send a request to the Secretary of Commerce on that snow crab fishery disaster request. Lots of meetings. I can take any questions. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ernie. Questions for Ernie? Okay. Charlotte.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Mayor Osterbach. You have my report. I'll kind of go through my normal thing and work through projects. So starting with the cod tagging project, kind of picked back up work on this one. So as I promised, our group submitted or published kind of a high level synthesized report of kind of to date preliminary results of the entire tagging study. And Ernie posted that for me, so you can click on that link if you want to take a look at it. I just kind of provided some key takeaways. So on average between 2021 and 25, for our fish, so our cod with known migration pathways, approximately 43% of all of the tagged cod moved from the Western Gulf north into the Eastern Bering Sea or Northern Bering Sea shortly after tagging during their winter spawning. I would just note that 43% actually may be kind of low because actually on the years when most of the fish moved, it was upwards of 50 to 60%, but we had 2 years where one was a really warm year. So we suspect that the fish had actually left by the time we went out to survey. And in another year, the air temperatures were so cold that we actually had to delay our survey by a little bit. So again, we think that the fish might have been gone by then. So we do see a pretty significant level of movement. And then more than 93% of the cod tagged in the Central Gulf didn't move into the Western Gulf. And so we really don't see movement between the Western and Central Gulf stat areas. The stock assessment author, Pete Holson, for the Gulf, I think I mentioned last time, but I didn't put in my report that he gave a presentation at the September plan team meeting on his work collating all of the PCOD tags that have ever been done in Alaska, including our satellite tags. And kind of provided some preliminary results. And I linked that presentation as well. But basically what he found sort of corroborates what our satellite tagging research shows, that there is a significant amount of movement in the Western Gulf into the Bering Sea, and a portion of that Bering Sea that does also return to the Western Gulf. Obviously, it's much smaller on the return trip because the biomass in the Bering Sea is so much bigger than the Western Gulf, but just talking about the Western Gulf, it's relatively very high movement. Anyways, he went along to put out three possible recommendations for how to move forward. And I'm just repeating these because we just finished with the PCOD meeting and there were a lot of stakeholders and a lot of comments about what's going to happen with PCOD, and everybody kind of punted it to the federal meeting, which is appropriate. But basically, the presentation kind of outlines the risk and benefits of using just a spatial and seasonally explicit model that estimates movement. So that would be keeping the existing stock assessment framework that we have right now, and then just trying to kind of factor in some more spatial and seasonal specific movement estimates to come up with better apportionment. The second option would be a single area Bering Sea Western Gulf integrated stock assessment model. That would be a very big lift. And I think right now the question is that worth it in terms of how much work it's going to be and how long it will take? And then the last one is just an ad hoc adjustment that can be informed by tagging. So for those of you who attend Plan Team or SSC, you'll recall that usually at the end of their stock assessments, they provide kind of a ad hoc table. They call it the risk matrix. And they basically say, here's ABC, here's TAC. And then on top of that, we make additional recommendations to provide ABC buffers, or in this case, it could possibly be an increase that says, hey, let's not change the stock assessments. But we think that roughly, 3% of Bering Sea fish, move from the Bering Sea to the Western Gulf or vice versa. And then they kind of handle reallocating TAC more through that an informal ad hoc method. So those are the three suggestions that have been made. I don't know how, with the government shutdown, what the impact to the stock assessment process is going to be right now. They're obviously going to have that short meeting in December, but like Ernie said, they haven't made any major changes to the stock assessment, and we didn't have a November planting meeting. So I don't know how and when these options are going to be considered and adopted, but I would highly recommend that if you have constituents who were at the PCOD meeting, the Board of Fish meeting, and were concerned or interested in this matter, that they plan on showing up at a council meeting when this comes up, because this is really where it matters. This is what we've been working on for the last 5 years. So please make sure everybody's ready to go to that meeting. Yes, so, Mayor.
So the council meeting you're talking about, that's the December one, when this will come
up? So that's, I think everybody's going to be on standby until we sort of know more. I don't think, because of what happened with the shutdown, there's really no way to deal with this or to try to make a recommendation for this stock assessment cycle, because they're not even taking up any of the changes that would have gone forward in November's planting meeting. I think they're just going to go forward with the bare minimum during tax setting in December. But I think that this would probably come forward, at like a staff tasking recommendation that the next stock assessment cycle, they take up these recommendations quantitatively and make a recommendation at next year's tax setting process through stock assessment. But if it comes to like a staff tasking or something, and stakeholders want to talk about that and what's the best approach for bringing this to the council from the fisherman's perspective, we can do that. And I would recommend we do that.
Okay, so maybe if you could give us a heads up which meeting you think fishermen need to go to participate in this
report.
That's a good question, Mr. Mayor. And Bernie and I will talk about that. I mean, it definitely is going to come up starting at the next September planting meeting. We may want to have stakeholders bring it to the attention of council at a meeting prior to that. So like June, or I don't know. Ernie and I will talk about it though. Maybe talk with you about it and see how we want to.
Okay. Well, we know it's not going to be this December meeting, right?
No. And I don't think it'll be even the next meeting after that, because they're going to take up Chum Bycatch. It's going to be all hands on deck from council staff.
Yeah. So just give us a heads up, plenty of time for.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so that COD's been on my mind, so that was most of my report. I'll just kind of breeze through the rest. Not much movement on the acoustic telemetry project. We did have two of our satellite tags pop up early, but the rest of them are still in the water. And we know that there are cod moving across the Unimac Pass acoustic array. So hopefully in a few months, we will see those fish, and that will be very exciting. And then that grant is moving along as expected, tracking well. The salmon tagging pilot, I'm spending a lot of time right now analyzing the tags, and I am almost finished with a draft manuscript for peer review. I'm hoping to have that case report submitted to the journal Animal Biotelemetry by the end of the year. It's simply going to characterize the movement and behavior of tagged chum fish. And then a more comprehensive paper will come out after that regarding non-retention survival off of seine vessels. And then hopefully by then I'll have the genetics results back from ADF&G, and we can sort of answer some of the more policy relevant questions. But I think that coming into the February meeting, it will be good to have this data published and we can talk about it. And also I'm kind of talking to collaborators, the department, I'll need to talk to the assembly about kind of how we want to move forward with this project and, if there's more work to be done in sort of combating the chum issue from this angle. And obviously, I attended Board of Fish, helped submit testimony, conduct some analyses, and submit RCs as needed or requested by stakeholders. And obviously, now we're all shifting our attention to February. So I imagine that take up a lot of my time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Charlotte. Questions? Paul?
Yeah, just for Ernie, I guess, or Charlotte, but the boat show coming up next week. Is there any, I think I asked last time, there was going to be no borough presence at the boat show. Is that still the status? There'll be no borough presence at the Seattle Boat Show?
That's correct.
Okay, just checking. Thank you.
Other questions for Charlotte? Okay, thank you, Charlotte. So that's the end of the updates. So before we go to assembly comments, so anyway, I was in Juneau for the Harbor Master Port Directors annual conference when the announcement was made through the YouTube meeting on the King Cole Kobe Road, the Ambler Road, and Anmar. So that was pretty interesting. I took time off out of my meeting there to attend that via YouTube, I guess it was. So and then I came back, and then I tried to go out to go to the COD meetings, but there was no room on any airplanes for a week. So I did miss out on attending that. But other than that, assembly comments.
Mr. Mayor, Chris here.
Good, Chris.
I want to thank the borough for the continued task of fighting for the road to Cole Bay. I came to King Cove in 91, and they were fighting for it then. And I know we've got some lawsuits now, but I think we're in a little better spot than we've been in the past. And so I thank the borough for all their support and hard work with what they've done with this. And then I'd like to say the administration is doing a good job. I'm able to be in the meeting here in Anchorage this time, and got to visit with some of the administration, and got an email from Beverly the other day. I've been on the assembly for 10 years now and hope to be on for longer. I welcome Jim back and Glenn Gardner Jr. And so that's all I've got. So thank you.
Thank you.
Well, a couple things. I guess the big one, and off top here, as we all know, we have a major drug problem in our region, which borough represents the same communities as Eastern Lucian tribes. And I guess my question is the borough used to help out with that project to the tune of, I think, $80,000. And I know the city did too, but they don't do anything with that anymore either. And the borough doesn't, but I'd like to put that back on the agenda, because Eastern Lucian tribes is, they had some grant money this year. They're not going to always have that, but it's $170,000 they put forth to this project, which covers these six communities that the borough covers. I just think the borough needs to maybe collaborate with them and maybe work with them and see if we can help them out a little more too, because that money is not going to be there forever. So I would like to see that put on the agenda so we can talk about it as an assembly. And then second, and just a quick question, I know we had a maintenance man at the borough. Do we have anybody at the borough level as a maintenance person?
Not right now.
Okay. Is it posted? Oh, okay.
I had a part-time back, and we took care of, I'd work with him sometimes, but took care of if we had lights or furnaces or whatever.
Okay.
But right now, with all the work that we're doing in all communities, I've gone to hiring. We've got a list of different companies in Anchorage, basically. And when something goes haywire in one of the communities, we have them go out and do it, because I haven't. I'm doing it that way so we can catch up. Just like now, Annie went through all the boilers that we put in, doing all this other stuff. There's stuff that's so far out of whack. It's just been crazy. Getting everything back up and running, and I just didn't do it.
Okay.
I don't know when I will, but I've been thinking about it now because now we don't have anyone, so I'm either going to do another part-time or I'll talk to Annie about it at some point here, but we're just going to continue on the way we are from now.
Okay, so back to the other issue. How do I get something put on the agenda? I'm new to the process here, so how do I get it? Do I talk to Beverly for next meeting to have that added?
Yes, we have a form that we do fill out.
So you can get me that?
Yep, it's a brand new form. Just did it last meeting.
Okay. Yeah, I can't stress enough. The borough represents the same communities as EAT does. And
I think we do put money into EAT.
Well, we haven't.
I think we do.
We haven't for a long time.
What?
Yeah.
Annie, we don't put
for the drug
position. No, in the EAT, I said.
Oh, okay. I'm talking more specifically.
Yeah, the drugs. The borough provides $150,000 a year to Eastern Aleutian tribes, and that's in the current budget.
But for what is that?
The reason behind it, I was from an agreement that was written in 1992 or 93, but basically it's supposed to help with more like behavioral health stuff. What they actually use it for, I don't know. But yeah, we provide about $37,500 per quarter. We pay it quarterly, similar to how we pay the school district. Their contributions. So yeah, we have $150,000 currently in the budget that we provide to Eastern Aleutian tribes.
Okay, well, I'll visit with Beverly and get that form and approach to the trip back to St. Louis. So thank you much, and thanks to being part of the group here.
Other comment? Emily.
Hi, Mr. Mayor. This is Josie.
Good, Josie.
Hi. I would just like to thank Tom Hoblett for his service and welcome Glenn. I did have a comment earlier that I totally forgot about and remembered after Annie was done with the report though. But now that the government shutdown is over, who knows how long it's gonna take to get things going again, but I was just wondering if there's any more updates on the EAS.
Josie, no, I have not heard anything else. I think everybody's trying to get their feet back on the ground at the federal level. I would anticipate that, well, what I was anticipating was that the essential air service proposal would have came out in October. Obviously, that didn't happen. So I'm assuming it would come out soon. I don't think they have to draft much. It's already basically written. So I would assume that would come out soon. And then our current agreement or the current agreement for the Essential Air Service does expire in March of 2026. So it's behind schedule, but I think it will come out soon. That's just my guess, though. That's without talking to anybody.
Yep.
Paul? Yeah, thanks. Annie, most years, you try to do a mid-year budget amendment, and so are you planning on doing that anytime soon? What's your schedule if and when we're going to do a mid-year budget amendment?
As of right now, I don't see a reason to do a mid-year budget amendment. We're running along pretty well on track, and I don't see any need to change anything at this moment. So I wasn't planning on doing one. We don't do one every year. And as of right now, I don't see a need to do one unless I'm told differently, but I'm not planning on doing one.
Other assembly comments?
Yeah, Ward here, King Cole. Yeah, Josie, there's going to be a roundtable with the EAS on the 18th at 10 till 11:30 a.m. And I don't know if you've been invited or you could attend that meeting if you have questions for the EAS.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I hadn't seen anything on that.
Yeah.
Well, and who is that? Who's putting that one together?
It's the Daniel Edwards,
ARP-1 and his team, along with DOT, the Federal Aviation Administration, roundtable discussions about Alaska's Essential Air Service. This is an opportunity for the EAS communities and air carriers to share the importance of the impacts of trade and mail and people food.
And when is that?
On the November 18th at 10 a.m. till 11:30 a.m.
Okay.
Which isn't much time, but I mean, that's time you get your ways in there. My invitation was from Andrew Warner.
Any other comments?
Yeah, I got another comment. I just, I don't know, just from being the lawsuits come out, the first one was from the Tree Cutter Association. They have a 59-page suit, and then the three villages, which is actually down from the previous years, suing us, that we're being in. So it's kind of disheartening to see the people looking like, by representatives being being dropped. And I mean, it's just pathetic how a duck becomes more important than a human life. I was on the radio with Chief Tall there on the Call It America, you know, Call It America, and we chatted about the birds and the bees in Alaska and the road to Gold Bay. But I stressed it many times during that half hour I was on there about the lives that were lost right around King Cole, and I didn't make a point to say the souls that are right about our community here. And the people who travel in and out of this community, what we have to endure. So it is pretty disheartening, and I know they're going to push that knee by again on those suits there. But anyway, we got a long way to go again on the road. I want to thank Brew again for supporting King Cole with the road project. But I know that in neighbors today, that at least there was mention in some of the road. And I guess we're all coming right down to the lawsuits or having a congressional action on it to get it through. So we're in a pretty good state, and I know that with the SEIS, we already did an EPA protocol to get that done. We finished up in the last meeting we've been having for the last year and a half to get the land exchange done, and it all helped out. So I don't know how many more times we're going to have to stress at the point of what a life means out of here in King Cove. I don't know who doesn't see that. It's been recorded many, many times. So anyway, I think that's all I have. It's pretty disheartening to see that happening again that way. But we'll have to just play the game, I guess.
Mr. Mayor, can I say anything afterwards? I think it's just pretty sad that you can go to Anchorage and have a freeway, and I'm sure everybody's that these ducks are running around, and yet, how often is it anyone even see one if they drive a call day? But yet, they run all over Anchorage like your best hat, and kicking their chase and kicking them and whatnot. But you can drive through a refuge in Anchorage, but if they want to shut you down for something going through, I mean, that blows anyway. It's a sad day, Warren.
And I thought I'd be this area and
we would need.
I know. Any other comments to make sound like?
Just a little bit more on that road thing. I don't really think, and I know we've talked about this before, I don't really think it's Eisenach Refuge so much, but it's what it's going to set. It's going to set a precedent that, well, if they can go through this wildlife refuge, why can't we have a road built here? So, I mean, I know they like to say it's the refuge, but I think it's what absolutely sad thing when it comes out to that. And you know, I agree with what, you know, Glenn and
I don't understand, you know. And I mean, even with the Yellowstone, I mean, you've got a huge highway going right through the middle of Yellowstone, you know. So I think it's what it's going to set, what it's going to open up the door to other places that are along the road or something through a refuge. So and that's the real sad part. And that's going to be the hard part to fight. But hopefully we can do it this time, and hopefully we can start seeing some more progress. But I think we're a lot better than we were, so thank you.
Okay. Other comments? So, on the central air service, just so everybody knows, we've been working on and still working on it for quite a while now, trying to get our community back into the central air service with our air carriers. Ticket prices are basically driving everybody out of the communities that you just can't afford to travel all year. You know,
when I was down at Essential Air Service, I told them, I said, you know, it's kind of embarrassing. It's a little bit sad, but in our communities, there's a lot of, we have a lot of Native people. We have Native hospitals. So the only way a lot of people travel is they get an appointment in Anchorage, our largest community, and they go out and, you know, get their doctor's appointments taken care of. And it's about their only trip they get off the island because our ticket prices are so high. And, you know, here it's like $1,400 round trip.
$1,600
now. And I think it's over $2,000 out of Dutch. And then I seen an article come out in the Dutch Harbor Fisherman. Basically, Aleutian Air is looking at if they can tie, if they can tie together St. Mary's, Unalakleet and St. Paul, they're gonna go in for a central air service there. And their prices they're paying right now in St. Paul, because they don't have an air carrier, is $1,300 one way. So if this goes through, now that we're out of this lockdown, they're talking $399 one way. So
you may never get a plane again, though.
So anyway, we're I've talked to Annie about it somewhat, and we're going to try and approach our air carrier again, which is Aleutian Air, and see maybe if they've changed their mind on going into the agreeing to go into Essential Air Service. I have no idea if they will or not, but just so people know, we are working on it and do realize that it's super expensive for anybody to travel in now. Paul?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, if you are working on Essential Air Service, it'd be nice to have an agenda item so we have additional information and maybe could comment on the regular agenda. Not that we don't trust what the administration is doing a great job, but including the assembly, because that's who we are here. This side of the table. I'm sure we have pretty comments. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, only thing I was doing was making it under comments. I don't have an agenda.
You're not on the agenda.
Is this my agenda? Okay, if you want me to talk, that's fine. Does anybody have anything else? If not, is there any public comments? If not, next meeting date is December 11th. And some of us will be at A&L, and we will be at the Anchorage office on December 11th. But with that, we need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you.